Hello, welcome back to the MJA podcast. My name is Kate Swanell. Childhood cancer has been on our radar lately. In the latest issue of the MJA, published on the 17th of February, there are two pieces of research from Cancer Council Queensland. One is on second primary cancers in people who had cancer as children. The one we're going to talk about today is on the incidence of childhood cancer in Australia. Associate Professor Danny Yulden is the Senior Manager of Childhood Cancer Research at Cancer Council Queensland, and he's the lead author on both papers. He's also my special guest today. But what was missing from the research evidence body?
We look at trends for childhood cancer fairly regularly, but It's been around a decade since we last published data in a journal on incidence trends for childhood cancer in Australia.
Using
data from the Australian Childhood Cancer Registry. So certainly one of our motivations was to provide an update on those trends in the literature. We were also aware that there was no information on cancer incidence projections specific to children under 15 years of age.
Right.
I should mention that when we talk about childhood cancer, it's under 15 years of age. And that was the reason for providing those estimates.
So tell us a little bit about your study and the design and why you chose to go the way you did.
The Australian Childhood Cancer Registry is one of the longest running registers of childhood cancer in the world and most comprehensive. So it really is a valuable resource. So obviously that was why we are using that as our base. The methods that we use for calculating trends are quite common. We use something called joint point analysis, which works out if there's any changes in the trends over time. And we use something called age period cohort modelling to look at the projections, which take into account the underlying trends at the time, as well as population projections.
Let's talk about what you found about the existing or the incidence over the last period. What were your major results there?
The previous paper that we published found that there'd been a period where incidence rates remained stable, but since then there's been a slow but steady rise observed in all childhood cancers combined in Australia over the last decade and for some of the specific cancers as well. On average, there are now 770 children diagnosed with cancer nationally each year. The mix of cancers has remained similar to the past, with acute lymphoblastic leukemia comprising about a quarter of all cases in the age group. So that was the trends. In terms of the prediction, the projections, we predicted that 1,060 children would be diagnosed with cancer each year by 2035, which equates to close to a 40% rise in the number of new cases, or a 7% increase in the current incidence rate after taking changes in the population into account.
Did anything in your results surprise you particularly?
Similar increasing incidence trends have been reported in other countries. So the fact that we are also seeing this in Australia, I suppose, is not all that surprising. In regard to the incidence projections, they do vary depending on the assumptions that are made in the modelling process. We were reasonably conservative in the assumption that we used.
Yes.
But it is important to keep in mind that the number of children with cancer in the future will depend on things such as future changes in the trends, if they change from what they are now, and also the accuracy of the population projections.
The incidence rate was pretty stable between 1983 and 1996 and has seemed to increase during 2011 to 2015. What's different? Are we just simply better at diagnosing childhood cancers?
There's a couple of things to note there. Firstly, it's not unusual for cancer trends to fluctuate over time, particularly for childhood cancers, because the numbers are, much smaller than for adult cancers. Secondly, we actually have seen changes in the trends previously. So there was an increasing trend between 1983 to 1996, followed by that stable period between 1996 to 2005 that you're referring to.
Right.
And finally, an increase of just over 1% per year on average between 2005 to 2015. So it's been a fairly slow increase over that last period of time. Comparisons over time always need to be made cautiously as well, due to possible changes in operational details and or data quality that might influence the observed incidence rate.
I'm chatting today with Associate Professor Danny Yulden, who is the lead author on two important papers on childhood cancer. They can be found at mja.com.au and both are open access. If you're enjoying this podcast, you can dig into our archives at mja.com.au/podcasts Or you can get our latest podcast in your inbox by subscribing to our iTunes feed. Just search on Medical Journal of Australia. Back to our chat. Let's talk a little bit clinically about kids under the age of four. What is it about that age group that makes little kids so susceptible to childhood cancers?
So I suppose we should mention that 47% of all childhood cancers under the age of 15 are occurring in that 0 to 4 age group. Cancers that occur during childhood are generally quite different to adult cancers in their biology. So a lot of cancers in adults are things called carcinomas, which develop as a result of lifestyle and environmental factors,
yes.
Things like tobacco smoke, alcohol, obesity, diet, lack of physical activity, all the usual suspects, exposure to the sun. In contrast, many childhood cancers are believed to arise from cells in the developing embryo and are a case of tissue development gone wrong, if you like.
Okay.
So for this reason, these tumours are more common in particularly in early childhood.
You've said in your paper that there's going to be a projected increase of about 38% by 2035. Is that something we should be alarmed about? Is it something that we need to take action on?
The research certainly isn't meant to alarm anyone. I think it's important to remember that the 38% increase that you're referring to is in terms of the absolute number of cases, not the incidence rate, which is the average number diagnosed per capita. So most of the projected increase is actually going to be due to expected population growth over that time, with the incidence rate itself predicted to increase by a more modest 7% in total over the 20 years from 2016 to 2035. And in terms of what needs to happen to bring the numbers down, that's actually something that's difficult to address. As I've mentioned, unlike adult cancers, lifestyle factors are rarely involved, and there is nothing specific that we can point to that we know increases or decreases the risk of childhood cancer. So, unfortunately, prevention is not really an option, at least for now. The one exception where we have seen some positive intervention is in melanoma in children, where we've seen a fall of almost 8% per year in incidence going back to the mid-1990s, which coincides with public health efforts to curb excess sun exposure. But for the other childhood cancers, the focus is almost exclusively on improving outcomes rather than prevention. So making sure that as many children as possible survive their cancer and have a good quality of life.
You noted in the paper that there was a higher increase in central nervous system tumours. Do we know why?
No. The causes of most childhood cancers, including central nervous system tumours, which are the brain and spinal tumours, are not well understood. One potential contributing factor is that diagnostic accuracy for this group of cancers is continually improving.
Okay.
And that certainly may be a contributing factor to the observed incidence. Apart from that, no, we simply don't know. I think that our results highlight that a better understanding of the causes and risk factors of childhood cancer is needed before any action can be taken to reduce incidence.
Yeah. And
so ongoing research is urgently needed in that area. And we can't do anything to prevent childhood cancer if we don't know what's causing it. The other point is that the healthcare offered to children with cancer in Australia really is among the best in the world. We know that when we compare survival rates internationally. So we hope that our work will be helpful in planning for the future and growing health service needs of our nation's youngest cancer patients.
If you could wave a magic wand, Danny, what would you do now?
Well, as I say, I think if we could better understand what causes childhood cancers, then we could prevent them. But failing that, The next best option is to improve survival as far as possible. And there've been enormous gains in survival for many types of childhood cancer over the last few decades, mainly as a result of international clinical trials. The knowledge there is just improving all the time.
Thanks, Danny.
Appreciate that.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.